Tonight, the theme of the lesson that the Lord's laid on my heart is becoming an answer to Jesus' prayer request. Becoming an answer to Jesus' prayer request. This article that I'm reading from is now 4 years old, but I would imagine that the information in the article is even more telling than it was 4 years ago. In a survey of over 1,000 Canadian Protestants, I'm just reading that because that's what's in the article. That's not what we are, so please don't be confused by that. And if you are, I'd love to help you with that. But just for the sake of the article, 43% claimed, so 1,000 Canadians were interviewed, and 43% of them felt a, quote, personal responsibility to share my religious beliefs about Jesus Christ with non-Christians. 1,000, only 43% thought it was their responsibility to tell the non-believer about Christ. I submit to you, if the Christians are not telling the non-believers, who will? It's not going to be the non-believers. However, 78% of the 1,000 had not shared with someone how to become a Christian in the last 6 months. 78% haven't told anyone about Christ in any way in 6 months. The article continues to say that 58% of those interviewed said they were comfortable sharing their faith. 59% of those interviewed, so this is almost 600 people, had not invited anyone to church. Oops, lost my article. Oh, it's on the back, that's right. Had not invited anyone to church in the last 6 months. You think about it. These are just statistics, but everyone here is also a statistic. You are your own statistic. What I mean by that is, how many people have you personally asked to come to church in the last 6 months? Think about it. Just think about it. Even people that you have no idea who they are, but you at least gave them a gospel tract, we'll just say that would count. But then let's set those aside, because that's important. That is a great tool for evangelism, handing out gospel tracts. But let's just think, in the last 6 months, how many could we come up with? We're not going to tonight, but how many could we come up with in this room tonight of, oh, what do we have, maybe 50 people? That's with all the children as well. And then obviously they're very important to us. We'll talk about them in a moment. How many would we come up with that we personally invited to come to church? I think we would probably be a little bit embarrassed. But to me, the major problem found in this survey was that 10% of the surveyed said they prayed for non-Christians daily. Only 100 out of 1,000 said they prayed daily for the unsaved. Another article. Quote, fewer churches emphasize, this is 2017, fewer churches emphasize and equip people for evangelism these days, and the results are obvious and undeniable. The implications of ignoring gospel outreach, especially among children, who are the most receptive audience to the gospel, are enormous. All the church growth strategies in the world cannot compensate for the absence of an authentic transmission of the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for humanity. So the first part of the article is telling us that the local church is not doing her job in emphasizing the responsibility that we have as God's children to share our faith with others. You know, the next part of the article really grabbed my attention. It says parents who have more influence on the spiritual choices and development of their children. Listen carefully. If you have a child in your home still, listen to this. Parents who have more influence on the spiritual choices and development of their children than anyone else. And by the way, that is true. Are ill-prepared these days to lead their children to a genuine, life-changing relationship with Jesus. This is a statistic and this is a general statement. This isn't that we're pointing at everyone here tonight. Many of you know the name George Barna. A lot of research is done in George Barna in churches. This is a George Barna research statistic. He continued, worse yet, surveys conducted revealed that most, and this is a U.S.-based statistic, this one is, that most American parents are not interested or engaged in helping their kids to know Jesus personally. So think of this. We have a wonderful group here tonight to show you how important what I'm talking about is. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's 13 young people here tonight, 12 and under. 13. According to what we're saying here tonight, and I'm not talking about their parents right now, okay? Just statistically speaking. Take those 13. They're going to, obviously, God tarries is coming. They're going to grow up to be teenagers. They're going to grow up to be adults. Then what? So if the church isn't emphasizing it, number one, and then if it's not being emphasized by their own parents, they have no hope. We have 13, I numbered 13. On any given Sunday, I'm going to conservatively say that we would probably have between the nursery and up to 12 years old, 25 kids. I hope that's not evangelistically speaking. I think that's about right, would you say? Maybe even more, I don't know. To me, this is of great concern. I don't have anybody 12 and under in my home, but I still have children under my influence in my home. And it's of great concern to me as a pastor that the future generation, should the Lord tarry his coming, are just going to walk out the door and never come back because the church didn't do enough. And then, more importantly, by the way, don't point your finger at the church, dad and mom, if you're not engaged. And I say that as lovingly as I can. If you're not engaged in the home, I'll just tell you this, your kids have little hope because they hear this once a week, but they see you 7 days a week. And I'll tell you what, your influence is far greater than mine. And it should be. But you know what mine should do? It should complement yours. We should be in this together. And I'm not saying we're not with you that are here tonight. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. This has just really been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. And this fact of not necessarily, yes, I'm going to get into our witness, but first and foremost, in our own homes. Barna stated, if you eliminate both family and churches as evangelistic influences in a child's life, what are the chances that the child will have a positive exposure to the gospel? Let me tell you, they're about that big. Especially if they go to the public school every day. So you've got a child. Think of this. You have a child who goes to the public school every day, 5 days a week, from kindergarten all the way to grade 12. The church that child goes to doesn't really do much with evangelism and reaching and preaching the gospel. And then that child's parents, mom, dad, or just mom, just dad, depending on the makeup, they don't emphasize the things of the Lord. That child has no chance. That child is going to be gobbled up in humanism. That child is going to be gobbled up in evolution. That child's going to be gobbled up in the things of the world and the philosophies of this world. Do you realize, if you're a parent here tonight, I'm sorry, if you're way beyond having young people in your home, this isn't just for young parents, but this is just really on my heart. Do you realize that the eternity of your child is at stake? It's not just, I want them to be happy. Look, if they don't come to Christ, I don't care how nice they are, and I don't care how good of a job or career they have, they're going to die without, if they die without Christ, you know where they're going. And if they reject God's message from this pulpit and from your home, well, you know what? At least we're going to pray and do our best. I'm not saying we'd want them to. I'm just saying. I have a statistic here that says that under 13 years of age, that's when 46% of the people get saved. Then if you add in 13 to 17, it's 22% more. My addition is still pretty good. That's 68% of people get saved by the age of 17. Now again, this isn't a message just for evangelizing kids. It just kind of started that way. Matthew chapter 9. I just really have a burdened heart for the next generation. So what I'm getting at is this, as we go to Matthew 9, verse number 35. Can you imagine if all 13 of these kids, just think of this tonight, just for tonight, just for, it's just an illustration. Brother Charles, how many people are here? Okay, 13 and 56, 39, that's about 25%. Not quite 25%. 20%? That'd be 12. So it's over 20. 20 to 25% of this group are in that bracket. Throw Emma in there because she's below 17. Now we're getting about 25%. That's the future. When my wife and I die, if we haven't given the gospel to our children like we should have, what happens to the Turner heritage of Christianity in my wing? It can quickly die. It can be done in one generation. I don't tonight look at the children and say, the children are a mess. Lovingly, I look at a parent like me and say, what am I doing? I should be doing more. I should be praying more. I should be training more. Matthew chapter 9. I'm in Mark. Oh boy, that's a good book too. Matthew 9. You know the passage. Just share with you tonight in a little while, and then we'll probably maybe go next week a little more. But when he saw the multitudes, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I wrote down there in my Bible, maybe I already told you this one other time, that's an absent workforce. The laborers are few. An absent workforce. You say, who are the laborers tonight? The laborers are anyone who has come to know Christ as Savior. We have the opportunity to pass on what somebody gave to us. Pray ye, there's the prayer request, becoming an answer to the Lord's prayer request. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. John 15, 14, just listen to these. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. I command you. John 14, 15, flipping those around. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Well, I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Amen? That's a genuine statement. We love the Lord. The Bible says if I love the Lord, then I want to obey his word. Even when it hurts. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. God doesn't ask you or you and me to do things that are grievous to us. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19-20, another passage of the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And let's just stop for a minute and say, praise God if we can go to the nations, but how about to your children? That's your first and foremost nation. How about your grandchildren? We got some grandparents here tonight. How about your grandchildren? James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. How many of you think it's good to tell somebody about Christ? Raise your hand. You think that's good? Okay. I didn't look at everybody specifically. But if you think that's good and you don't do it, what are you? That's right. And what am I? A sinner. Now, if it's not good to share the gospel with somebody, you're in the wrong church. Because we believe the gospel is the good news. It changed my life. If you're saved tonight, the gospel has changed your life. And it shouldn't just change your life. We want it to change the life of those whom we come in contact with. We are the light for the dark world that we live in. Praise God. He lets us be in a country of freedom. I mean, again, we have people in our church, from this church, Anchor Baptist, that came from countries where the freedoms are not nearly like they are here. We are a blessed people. In a sense, we really have it easy when it comes to sharing our faith. So therefore, the him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, just so you know, it wasn't me saying it, it was the James 4:17, to him it is sin. So if my love is proved by obedience as well as our friendship to God, if I am commanded to tell the lost about Jesus, first and foremost, that's my kids. Some of us got saved later in life. We have some adults here tonight that got saved later in life when your kids were already grown. And I know several of you that have children like that. You're praying for them. By the way, keep it up. They need to know that on Sunday, their mom, who wasn't a Christian when they were growing up, they got saved, that this isn't some cult that their mom or their dad are involved in. No, they're Bible-believing Christians. They love the Lord, and they want you to be saved too. Keep setting that example. Pastor Clarence Sexton said, I read in a book recently, it is an amazing truth that the one thing God has given us to do is our single greatest failure. In most churches today, we work at just about everything but pursuing souls. One might find a singing event, a pageant, or some so-called Christian function to attend. This is all a quote. But how much of what is going on in God's name has God truly given us to do? One of the main things that God has given the church to do is go and preach the gospel. One of the main things that God has given a Christian to do is go and preach the gospel. God did not give us the Great Commission. God did give us, the Great Commission to do one time in each of the Gospels as well as in Acts. It is very clear that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here's a question I have, and our time is really fleeting, and I really want you to see a video here tonight. Play it in a moment. What percentage of the members of Anchor Baptist Church are actively sharing the gospel? You say, why would you say it that way? Because I know the members' testimony. I know they're saved. At least they have a salvation testimony. That means they're responsible, and I'm responsible as a born-again believer to share the gospel. I wonder if we could do an anonymous survey and find out how many of the members, we have about 70 members that are regularly sharing the gospel with the lost world. I wonder what it would be. I'm going to say this lovingly. I think we would be embarrassed. It's one of the main tasks of the local church, Christians. It's one of the main tasks of us as believers. So what are the excuses that we offer up quickly? Number one, I'm not called to witness. Let's go to John 15, 16. Quickly. You have that video ready? Whoever's back there? Okay, you have it ready. All right, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. John 15, 16. And believe me, I hope you know, we have some visitors here tonight. Thank you, visitors, for being with us. But this isn't in the normal Wednesday night Bible study, but this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks, and it's just bubbling over. And it's not about me. It's not about, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me right now. We're missing opportunities. Like, I love that statement. What are we doing in the name of God that He actually told us to do? And I believe we're trying our best at Anchor Baptist Church. Sometimes like to use the word trying. We're trusting the Lord in the way we're doing ministry here to emphasize the gospel all the time. I believe we're trusting the Lord and doing our best, but we can always do better. But maybe tonight the important thing for us to hear is within our own home. How much do our kids hear of Jesus in the home? I just want you to know that your children are on my heart. John 15, 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. No one is called to witness, but everyone is commanded to witness." The word go is synonymous with the gospel, isn't it? G-O. I've noticed this since I was 16 years old. When I pull up to a light and it's red and that stoplight turns green, I do not keep my foot on the middle pedal. If you're not a driver, that's the brake. You say, why the middle one? Because I grew up driving a stick shift. One, two, three. No more on the middle pedal. We're going places. When you see green on that stoplight, or on that stoplight, street light, whatever it's called, signal light, that's what it's called. Go! I don't know if any of you have ever thought this or said it. I think I've said it because I have witnesses. Somebody see, the green light comes and nobody moves in front of me. And I say under my breath, it's the pedal on the right. My dad used to say that. Sorry, Dad, if you do see this, but you passed that on to me. Green means go. We know that green means go. So when we open the Bible and it says go, why do we not go? We open up the Bible and it says go, and we always stay. When we feel like it and when we don't, we should consistently be giving out the gospel. I'm going to talk next week about some ways we can conquer the sin of not witnessing. I do want the young men have a video that I found today, and we're gonna let that video play right now, and then I'm just going to say a few closing things.
In terms of dealing with fear and evangelism, I think the starting point is to realize that not all fear is bad. Fear reminds us of the significance of the task of sharing the gospel. It's not something we should take lightly, and it also forces us to depend on the Lord. And in that case, fear can be a very helpful thing. But most of the time when people talk about fear and evangelism, they're talking about a fear that keeps them from sharing. Three common fears that I've observed. The first is not knowing enough. They're afraid they're going to be asked a question that they can't answer. And I tell people, you don't need to be afraid of that. That will happen. I have two master's degrees and a PhD in theology. And my own kids asked me questions that I couldn't answer. I would just stand up tall and clear my throat and say, go ask your mother. It's okay to say, I don't know the answer to a question, or let me research that and get back to you. A second common source of fear, people are afraid of the fear of failure. They're afraid that they might do more harm than good. But whenever I hear someone share that, they're afraid they'll do more harm than good, I always think that's not your problem. They're a sensitive person. They're not going to come across like a bull in a china shop. It's the person that never gives sensitivity a second thought that may come across as aggressive. But when someone says, I'm afraid I'll do more harm than good, that's not their problem. They don't need sensitivity. They may need boldness. But I love Dr. Bill Bright's definition of evangelism. He said, successful witnessing is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. Amen. We can't change anyone's heart. Successful witnessing is when we share the good news. I guess the greatest source of fear, if people were really honest, is fear of rejection. They're afraid, what will this person think about me if I identify with Christ? I think of the rulers that John talked about in John chapter 12. Said many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees were not confessing him, lest they be cast out of the temple. And then in John 12:43, he gives this epithet, for they love the approval of men more than the approval of God. But we have to confront that our fear of rejection is really loving the approval of men more than yes. The approval of God. We need to love those who don't know Christ more than we love ourselves. In Acts chapter 4, we see that the disciples were afraid. They'd been threatened, and they were afraid. And so what did they do? They prayed for boldness. I believe that's a prayer that God delights to answer. When we're afraid, we simply acknowledge that and say, God, I'm afraid. I'm scared right now. Would you fill me with boldness? That's a prayer that God loves to answer. Someone described it in this way. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and there was no one there.
I think that's probably the thing I've heard the most, and it's something that I deal with every time that I begin to share the gospel, is fear. What's going to happen? What are they going to say? But again,
I love what he said about who do we love?
Who do we love? Again, the commandments of God. So we have those who we don't even know. They're complete strangers. We are commanded to be a witness to them. Yes. But then we have our own flesh and blood. We for sure are commanded to be a witness to them, to love them, the things of the Lord. Just think, if whoever told you about the gospel never became an answer to Jesus' prayer request. Just think. Somebody shared the gospel with you, and now you're on your way to heaven. Someone shared it with me, and now I'm on my way to heaven. I praise the Lord it was in a home. I heard the gospel in my home. I'm thankful for that. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm thankful for that. By the way, if you are a child here tonight and you're surrounded by the gospel, be thankful for that. That's a great blessing. I'm thinking of those 25 to 30 kids that come to Anchor Baptist Church. I don't want one of them. I don't want one of them to walk away from God. Who would want a child to grow up and walk away from God? No one. It involves taking time, though, little by little. By the way, you may not have children in the home still or have any of your own children. But as we've said since day one, the Anchor children are part of your family. We have maybe maybe 30 adults from Anchor Baptist here tonight. The question is, how many of us in the next week, how many of us in the next week, in some way, it doesn't have to be Saturday morning at 10:30, that'd be a good place to start. How many of us teenagers and adults, I'm talking about our church family right now, in the next 7 days are going to make a schedule time. I'm going to go share the gospel. We need to. You heard the statistics.